do think that we are moving towards this world where personal brand is becoming disproportionately important. 50% of all of HubSpot's media is through creators. So they're producing content, producing collaborations, and they're generating great result. And that's like a massive shift from like SEO.
You're listening to The Stand Up from Monday.com, where we talk to real leaders every episode to get their sharpest insights. I am so excited to have with us here on The Stand Up, Owen Greenberg. Owen is a growth marketing advisor and founding partner at Curve and has worked with multitudes of marketing teams at, it sounds like, every size of company. Super excited to have you on The Stand Up. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Owen, you've worked with so many different types of leaders, so many different types of teams. What, in your opinion, are the key secrets to motivating teams and aligning them around shared goals?
I think the truth about motivation, I think there's always two primary levers. There's the financially motivated individual, and it's about career progression, growth, and it's about some sort of financial target. They're competitive, they're comparing, and there needs to be a strong incentive. I'd say that is a very gross categorization. It's very binary, and people aren't binary, so there's a spectrum. I'd say on the other end, there's people who really want to feel valued, appreciated, and personal connection, and they're very interested in the relationship with you as a manager. And underlying all of that is obviously the company vision, the company culture. I remember I spoke to someone the other day, and that person had taken a 50% salary cap in order to work for a company that was more aligned to his values and the impact he's going to have on the world. But I'd say he's unusual. Like, I don't typically meet people who are willing to make such a large compromise on income. But I'd say that the people, like, that's more important for them. There's a fragmentation of different reasons for people's motivation, and you got to hone in on that individual and cater and align to what motivates them. Now, when it comes to goal alignment, I'd say the primary barrier that I've seen is misaligned KPIs. So sales have deal one, and they have a bonus tied to it, and marketing have marketing qualified lead, and no one really cares about what's happening in between. I'd say that's like the most common problem, is a misalignment where marketing isn't owning revenue and they don't care about the quality of the prospects. Some of it's cultural as well. How are the teams treated? I remember one business, we had built a wall, a physical wall between sales and engineering and product. The reason was sales were hitting the phone a lot. It was very loud. It was very noisy. So the engineers didn't like it, right? But, you know, when you build a physical barrier between the departments, it actually creates a psychological barrier, maybe a bit more subtle, but definitely observable. The formulation of the cohesiveness is tricky. You know, I remember talking to a CEO the other day, very successful business. They said, we have two offices. And one of the offices was quibbling because it was like pizza day in one of the offices, but there wasn't pizza day in the other. And in a way, you're kind of like, wait, these are adults. Some of them are paid really well. And they're complaining about pizza day. If you think of everyone like a five-year-old or a six-year-old that wants love and attention, suddenly it kind of changes the lens in which you think about the relationships and values. And it gets tricky. You know, I remember I won a company award. And there were a couple of people and they became very competitive and quite aggressive because they felt that if I win the award, they're not working hard enough. And you have this like inter-relationships and dynamics between individuals that you as a manager can't necessarily mitigate, you know, like a rivalry between two different people because of personality or because they're hyper-competitive. I think humans are complex. I don't think it's like simple or easy solutions. And I think it is very very specific to that business, that culture, that team, or what is the root problem. But you have to identify the right problem and come up with the right solution for that specific context.
Very cool. So much to dig into there. I want to touch on something that you mentioned at the very beginning, KPI alignment. This is probably the bane of every leader's existence. How do I align KPIs across different departments? How do I kind of get everybody around these shared goals? What are some of the ways that you've seen leaders best align across KPIs?
Typically, it's a domino effect that starts with ambiguity on a strategic level. So when I go into the C-suite, I align everyone to the C-suite on what are the top key initiatives for that quarter. And typically, I don't allow more than 3 to 5. And we go very deep on really fleshing out the initiatives. and making sure everyone has a voice and is heard as to the objections, the perspective, and the prioritization. And sometimes you go in and you say, okay, it's going to be a 2-hour session. It ends up being 7 hours because you have to remove all of the friction and the disagreement between senior stakeholders. Once you've got the strategic alignment, what I find happens is people aren't 100% clear on how to create KPIs that align. And the reason is sometimes in companies, marketing like wants to own sales or sales wants to own marketing. And the senior leader is like, both of those is going to be a disaster. So we need to like separate them so they don't start like nibbling at each other. So we're going to give them separate KPIs and that creates a misalignment. And I think the answer to that is you need a mix. You need to have a contribution where the majority is a shared goal, typically revenue, quality of opportunities. So sometimes it's really indicative of growth. Something's a KPI that's a very meaningful indicator that's predictable and measurable. And then you can have sub KPIs that, you know, maybe 30% of the bonus or 40% of the bonus, but that person has more control and remit. So I think this is the best way that I've observed to try and break through those barriers and create better alignment.
I'm curious if you've noticed whether there are also cultural differences in terms of like the company culture that sometimes make that less prevalent or more prevalent, or is it something that you see as a company goes up market or as a company starts to get bigger? Are there any kind of trends that you've seen where that starts to happen more or less?
I'd say the most notable cultural gap is between sales-led organizations and marketing-led organizations, where when you look at how most of the revenue or pipeline has been generated historically, that sets the precedent for where the priority and energy is. And what happens is in either business, when there's a shift in the market, sometimes they can't adapt because they're conditioned. I remember I talked to a CEO the other day and he said to me, I've scaled this business through cold calling. There was a hard time understanding the value of marketing because in his mind, he's like, why is this necessary? I didn't need to do that until this point. But I'd say that's a very notable difference, sales and marketing led organizations. Massive difference between public companies, bootstrapped companies and VC-backed businesses.
And when you work with like all of these different types of companies and you see superstar leaders, we all know them when we see them. What are some of the things that they do really well?
Typically, they're really brilliant. They're like secretly brilliant because they're not trying to prove that they're the smartest person in the room. So they're very attentive and astute. I'd say they're relentless, but not necessarily ruthless. Some of them are like wildly creative. They're amazing at starting things and have very poor follow through. Others, they're incredibly cynical and technically oriented, like highly skilled. And they have really great follow through, but they're obviously not like grandiose vision. They're not the most inspiring. So it's like, it's incredible to see that you can see really successful leaders who are so different in terms of personality, skill set, background. Why is it they're successful? If I reduce it to like really massive reductionism here, they've solved a valuable problem and they do it exceptionally well. And that's the most consistent quality.
That's great. We wouldn't have any guests without talking about AI a little bit, right? Of course. Do you see AI and AI agents starting to shift the way we think about marketing team structure, hiring, campaign execution? Where do you see those shifts happening?
The most evident places is where a lot of the popular tools and software that people are using are implementing AI. So if it's Monday or Notion or Gong or whatever these different companies are, HubSpot, it's like, that's like the most obvious place you evidently see it. It's like the integration of these capabilities and how that's influencing day-to-day workflows. And obviously marketers working a lot more with ChatGPT or Claude in the day-to-day in different guises, producing content briefs or working on your blog posts or working on creatives for LinkedIn ads or email marketing, all of that is you see it in the day-to-day changing. I think agentic AI, I'd say only the ones who are quite technical and pioneering across the businesses that I'm exposed to are utilizing it.
And what would be your piece of advice to leaders or marketing leaders or general leaders about AI? What would you advise them to do given the massive changes that are happening now in the market?
Invest in training and upskilling your team. I think doing due diligence and being cautious, because there's still a lot of excess hype and a lot of tools that are making promises that they can't deliver on. So I'm a bit surprised about how low the barrier is in AI and many tools. And like, not a day goes by that I don't speak to a very successful executive who says, this was crap, this is bad, like this is disappointing. And they kind of fall off. They're kind of like, there's a lot of hype because there's these vendors are trying to push stuff that's just not ready for market. So be wary of that. If you're cynical or skeptical, it's justified. I get that. It's hard not to be a bit cynical with so much hype. It's a merge of data science, linguistics, and engineering. And that's why some of these engineers are making, you know, $1 million, $2 million a year plus in salaries, and because they're highly desirable, because they're so super specialized.
So I'd like to go into a section that we like to call How I Failed. And I would love to hear a moment in your career where things didn't go to plan and what that experience taught you about your growth or your leadership.
I did have this one that was quite funny where I specialized in SEO at one point in my career, and I got ranking for number one on Google for Anthony Robbins. And then I signed up to the affiliate program that they were running, and I was making quite a lot of money from outbidding them for their own brand term. And then they sued me and they took away the domain. What did that teach me? That told me, you know, don't build your sandcastle on someone else's beach. I think the only thing I learned is from the failed initiatives is really, what kills you doesn't make you a little stranger, to paraphrase Batman. But the original quote is obviously, what doesn't kill you makes you a little bit stronger. I think every failure that you accrue, even though it's very painful, it teaches you a little bit about what not to do. And eventually, after you learn a lot of what not to do, you end up figuring out what to do.
Very cool. Now we have a series of quick questions that we like to ask a professional fire round. What is one mindset shift every B2B leader should make around marketing today?
I do think that we are moving towards this world where personal brand is becoming disproportionately important. 50% of all of HubSpot's media is through creators. So they're producing content, producing collaborations, and they're generating great results. And that's like a massive shift from like SEO, right? I think because it's such a fragmented world in terms of noise and content, that it is important to be very focused strategically with the target account list and the real problems that business solves well for them, and being top of mind and shifting from a spray and pray and an old school mindset of a brand is getting as many eyeballs as possible as getting the most relevant eyeballs as possible. And digital marketing enables you to do that hyper targeting. I think quality still trumps quantity. It's important to produce higher quality pieces of content rather than volume.
What is one marketing tool you always come back to?
I'd say the most prolific across my client base is HubSpot, which I use across a couple of businesses myself. I'd say that's like one of the fundamentals that seems to be most prolific or most common. I do have this funny thing where I interview marketers for my clients, and I have a funny question where I ask, which is, what do you think is the most overrated software in marketing? And categorically, the most common question 9 out of 10 marketers say is Salesforce.
Oh, wow.
So I've given you an answer and an anti-answer as well.
I love that. I love that. Give me more tea, right? Fantastic. Well, I would love to also ask you, what is a podcast, piece of media, book, TV show that you can't get enough of? It could be personal, it could be professional, whatever you'd like.
I'm pretty diverse. I don't really tend to stick to one thing. I bounce around lots of different pieces of content. I'd say the only thing that I consistently consume on a daily basis would probably be the Financial Times, which I think is probably a very unusual response. It comes closest to giving me a relatively objective view as to what's happening, as objective as you could get in journalism, and to what's happening in the world. And I do think that economics is one of the driving forces of change, and they have a very astute perception on it. I think The Economist is also quite interesting when I have the time to read their really long articles.
Owen, thank you so much for joining us on The Stand Up. If our listeners want to hear more about you or know more about you, what can they do?
Yeah, I'd say following me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty prolific there. I'm signing up to my newsletter on my website or in greenbro.com. But yeah, feel free to like connect up. I'm always up for meeting wonderful new people.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. It was so great having Owen on The Stand Up today. I loved hearing about how you can create KPIs that feel more shared and that you don't need to have teams constantly nibbling and trying to figure out how to be territorial around their KPIs. It was also really interesting to hear how different company types approach KPIs, whether the types of funding that they have or the stage that they're in. And finally, it was real fun to dig in on what's the most overrated marketing tool out there and why some teams really struggle with it. Overall, really great having Owen on the show, and I'm excited to share more of his insights on social and with my team. Our next stand-up is in 2 weeks. Before you go, if you found this episode thought-provoking, consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about our conversation or more takeaways to help with all the leadership roles you play, visit monday.com or sign up for our newsletter. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you at our next stand-up.